some ghost stories online. Did the spirit of a deceased pet return to help its owner prepare for the death of a family member? What caused her spirit to return with a final goodbye? And did an old ritual conjure unwanted spirits into a man's life? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802. Our phone number to call in to share your real ghost story with us. You can also email Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com with your audio file, or email, or send in your story text form if you'd like to use the keyboard. You can send it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Sean Reed joining you this fine day. And how are you today?
Warm.
It
very,
is
very warm.
Bit of a heat wave going through the flyover states right now as we're recording this. What did you get today?
I believe it's 96, but the feels like about 208 with that dew point.
But you know, it's not the heat, it's the humidity, as everyone would say.
Interestingly enough, watching some baseball today of my hometown, Milwaukee Brewers, and Facebook has done a thing now where they do a game live on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
They have polls and a lot more interactive and such. The question today involved, and our listeners would enjoy this, there's a haunted or supposedly haunted hotel downtown Milwaukee. Your home state, my hometown. Mm-hmm. It's the Pfister, and a lot of professional sports teams, when they come to visit Milwaukee, whether they play the Bucks in the NBA or the Brewers, baseball, the teams stay there, and there have been more than a dozen stories that there is definitely some paranormal activity going on at the Pfister.
The Pfister, I believe that's a Walter Hotel, isn't it? Because we had one in Fond du Lac where I grew up.
Yes, Pfister.
Yeah. Yeah, and he built a whole bunch of hotels around the state, all somewhat similar in design. And there's the rumors, or there's ghost stories attached with every one of those hotels, where he's haunting it, or something related to him is haunting it. But very, very neat hotels, very ornate hotels. It almost feels like you're in the Titanic, is how I describe those hotels.
Very much. It's like you're staying in a museum.
Yeah.
And absolutely beautiful. The lobby, just a great, great hotel. But they did a poll during the ball game, and 76%, which I had already known and heard a lot of stories, but over three quarters of the folks tuning in the ball game today, question was, the Pfister Hotel haunted? 76%, absolutely. And the other 24% just apparently aren't knowledgeable, because it should be 100%. Yes.
You know, when you have a building that's that old, and I think it's like limestone or something, a lot of it is.
Yeah.
You're just... hotels, I guess I do know why. I mean, when you go at a hotel, emotions tend to be high. A lot of big events happen at a hotel. Either you're getting married, you're there on a vacation, you're excited, you're in town because someone's passed away, you have gotten kicked out of your own home. There's so many reasons, you know, that you'd be in a hotel and where emotions would be running high. And this thing was built in 1910. It just makes sense that, you know, it's bound to have energy and spirits at it.
So yeah, if you guys are looking for a fun place, road trip this summer, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, have fun by the lake and enjoy talking to some of the folks, maybe not living in room 212.
You know, as you say this and we're talking about Wisconsin things, I am opening up a, you know what that is a can of?
Oh, heaven right there.
Jolly Good.
Oh.
Who puts the
jolly
pop
damn
in Wisconsin?
Good.
Yeah.
Is that Citrus Thunder?
No, it's the Diet Cherry. I had some
Dr. Mountain.
Relatives that stopped by last week, and they brought me two giant old cases of Jolly Good, and it tastes like 4th of July and being 8.
Everybody has a regional favorite wherever they grew up, whatever part of the country. Jolly Good, one in Wisconsin, and no discredit to Jolly Good, they just didn't have the trademark to actually call it what it was. So you wouldn't have name brand names. You would have names similar. For example, Dr. Thunder.
Sure.
Or Citrus Mountain.
Yeah.
Or Lemon Lime and such. So it was not only did it taste good, but it was an even more unique, witty name of said flavor you were drinking.
And it's funny because it was like a generic store brand. It was always like the cheapest soda to get. And now as an adult, it's like, if you want to get it, they'll ship it to you. It's like $50 to ship or something. It's crazy. But
and you'll pay for it.
You
because,
would.
Because gosh darn it, that Citrus Thunder is heaven in a can.
It's amazing. Just like you taste it, you're like, oh, this is, I feel like I'm 8 again.
Close your eyes and it all comes back.
Exactly.
Even the bad memories.
Exactly. It can be traumatic or it can be a wonderful experience depending on the can you're opening. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, I have another story to share. To me personally, it's gut-wrenching and painful to tell, but anyway, I loved my black chow, Mia, as if she was my own child. She was my shadow. She saved my life when I had a heart condition, and one time saved my cat's life. Also, When my other pet went missing for about 2 weeks, I said to Mia, where is the pet? And she took off running to a place I had not searched and instantly found my cat. The dog was my super dog, held my sanity together, and was the most beautiful dog I've ever owned. January 17th of 2015, my boyfriend and I were out of the town, and I left Mia with my roommates at home. They loved and cared for her, and during our night out, I received a text and said Mia was hit by a car. At that moment, my entire existence changed and I was crushed to oblivion emotionally. I had just been with her, and so I was in shock for about 2 months after that. I had also just told her about a week earlier that I would absolutely not know what I would do without her. She was my happiness and my world. I got her when she was 5 months old, and when I saw her in the photo while searching for dogs, it was love at first sight on Craigslist of all places, and I got her for free also. Anyway, while home alone in my kitchen, after this whirlwind of hell rained down on me, I felt something jump up on my legs, like she'd do every now and then, and I knew she was still with me. Also, I felt her get into my bed at the same place she always would sleep to. I also had to start taking 2 antidepressants to pull me out of the mental state this tragedy put me into. That did help a bit, actually. I was able to work then. In March of the same year, I got into a nightmare no one wants to get into about parents being very ill. My 81-year-old father succumbed to Parkinson's, and I was only about a week out from being able to travel to visit him. Of course, again, my world went dark. I trekked the 5 hours to endure this, and I had to travel alone also. I'm not able to drive more than 4 hours straight without needing a very long break, but the day we laid him to rest in his gorgeous mausoleum in Dallas, I had to drive from Tyler to Dallas, then Sherman to take my son home, then back to Austin, my home, all in one day. I don't know how I did this, but I did call on my father to help me get home safe and not fall asleep. I arrived home early that evening, safely, and not tired at all. I wonder if Dad actually did help me, because I'm also scared of driving on very high overpasses, because I get vertigo and the height can give me severe panic attacks, and I'll hyperventilate in a dangerous manner. And every time I go on one, I say out loud, okay, Dad, get me through this. And since I do that, I don't get scared. I think this is pretty unique. Also, all my life growing up, I had nightmares of my father dying. I don't know the origin of this, really. But now I dream of him being very happy and laughing and not suffering. And I cry happy tears and I know he's okay. So my point is, did Mia care for me enough to prepare me emotionally for Dad's passing first? Because to lose my dog and my dad so close together, I thought I would literally die that year. I wanted to dig a hole and be buried next to my Mia. I'd never wanted to die before. I am not and never have been suicidal. The thought of death usually scares the living shit out of me. A medium was helping me through a difficult moment once and said, my head is tingling. And she said, Dad is kissing your head. And this made sense, be it true or not. But she didn't know that is how Dad did. He was very tall. I was tall, but not 6'5 like him, and he would kiss the top of my head. So I hope he's still around. She said he is also training to be a spirit guide and is surrounded by children. And that made sense also because he loved children. We kept dozens of foster kids growing up. He cared so much for their well-being. I hope this isn't too long, but I wanted to share a touching story. Love y'all. Continue to listen daily, and I always want to be an EPP. Casey, can you please play? I'm kidding. All the best, Sherry.
Mix 96.
Exactly. Casey, I'd love to hear Somewhere Out There. Sherry, here's your long-distance dedication. That's not how it starts. But no, seriously, I mean, Sherry, I agree. I think you're, it's one of those things, and it's interesting when folks talk with psychics or things of that nature, especially when they don't know a whole lot of information. There's freaky information that can come out that really makes you go, how did you know this? And it's like, well, you're talking to a psychic. That's probably how they know it. Have you ever had an experience? Have you ever talked to a psychic, whether it be on the air for a, you know, stupid radio bit or like actually like at something?
The closest I have been, aside from a fortune cookie, that wherever you get it, even if it's 6 years down the road and you're in the staff kitchen and you open up the drawer where the cutlery is and there's a fortune cookie and you open it, it always seems to just cut you like a knife. It goes right to your core. I am going to have something happen to me tomorrow. Fortune cookies and
I'm not talking about fortune cookies.
What was that?
I'm not talking about fortune cookies.
I had a point there. It went away. What I was trying to say is the closest that I've been to a psychic is reading fortunes out of fortune cookies.
Okay, that's okay. In short,
I have not spoken with a psychic.
So the answer is no.
The answer is no. You can edit that part of the little talk.
We don't edit anything. So
delete. Delete.
No, that's not how we roll.
I have talked with someone who is very confident and lives the energy of the rocks. Like they have them in a little bag and they bring them wherever they are.
Like the crystals and stuff?
Chi and what have you. So I have had an experience with that.
What was that?
I didn't get it. I seem to be a bit closed-minded in certain situations that I feel, my opinion, is you almost have to want to be guided to a certain thought or reassurance or what have you. And I think in that situation, I just wasn't. Mm-hmm. I just had my preconceived thoughts and opinions. And it was a colleague. They had rocks. I was having a bad week. It was a bad story.
Yeah, you know, I think it's one of those things where, and I feel the same way. I can very easily close myself off to that and be kind of judgmental or just have my preconceived notion of what this is or whatnot. But I have been wowed a couple times in my life, and I don't remember the exact details, but I remember doing a morning show. I think I was in Michigan, and I had it was like a weekly psychic lady that we had, and I don't remember what her name was, but she would do readings for the audience, but every once in a while she'd be like, Tony, I want to tell you something. And it would be like very intuitive, and it wasn't like telling your future or anything like that, but it was like she knew like kind of what was going on around me, and I really had not shared anything. Now there's certainly a way with quote unquote, you know, psychics. And I believe there's legitimate ones, and I believe there's bullshit ones. The thing is with the BS ones, they're going to ask you a ton of questions beforehand and get little pieces of information and then go down that path. The legitimate ones, for the most part, in my experience, just kind of pop out and be like, look, you didn't ask this, but here's what I got. And if it relates, it relates. We've had listeners who've fit that mold, who have said, you know, I literally walked up to somebody at an airport one day. I don't know why. I was just sitting there at the Chili's having my boneless buffalo wings. And this family walked by, and something compelled me to go and tell them something about their loved one. And they looked at me like I was crazy, but they also said, oh, my God, we're going to their funeral right now. How did you know that? And it happens sometimes, and I don't think there's any way of denying it, just the way that occurs, but there certainly is BS versions of it out there. Do you remember Chet the Bowling Psychic, the bit I used to do on WPKR?
I do.
Yeah, and that was a very interesting experiment in BS psychic tree, because that bit, and I think I've talked about it on the show before, It was essentially, it was supposed to be funny. I was not doing this seriously, but people would call in and they thought I was really talking to a psychic, and it was me on the other line. And it would be essentially, I want to, what's your question? They give the question. Chet's like, okay, let me take the bowling ball and roll it down the alley. And the way the pins aligned themselves is how he came up with the reading.
And I feel as though you were born. Were you born at one point in your life?
And I discovered how easy it is to say almost anything, and people will relate to it in some way, shape, or form.
Yes, keep going.
And it was scary. It was scary because there was a time when I think the, who was the guy that was on TV? I don't remember him, but it was the crossing over guy. And I don't know if he's legit or not. I really don't have an opinion on it, but it was just, there was a lot of that going on. And I'm in no way saying that that doesn't exist, but there's a lot of BS out there in that world, too. And just having done that experiment a few times on the air, it was very easy to really come out of nowhere with nothing. And people thought the character was actually giving them legitimate information. But there's legit, there's not legit. I guess it would just, my message would be cautious in that world. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to our next story. It says, hi, my name's Kelly. I just joined your Ghost Story Podcast, EPP. I love your ghost stories and the ghost story community that you helped build. My story takes place in the early 1990s. I was living in Brooklyn, New York, and I was living in a shared household with four other women and myself. It was a communal house that had been around as a shared house since the early 1960s. It was a beautiful old Victorian house with three floors and a full basement. It had beautiful dark wood everywhere and stained glass in the windows and a typical beautiful spiraling staircase that led up two of the stair flights. The front yard was pretty spacious. It had a chain link fence around it. The neighborhood was right on the edge of a very posh part of Brooklyn with beautiful renovated Victorian houses. And then there was the less expensive Hispanic neighborhood of brick apartments where a lot of people from Puerto Rico live. So it was a mixed neighborhood that could be very lively and noisy most of the time. One day I left the house after all my other roommates had. It was very early in the afternoon, and I was going to take the F train into Manhattan. It was late spring and somewhat warm out. I went out the door and out the gate, and as soon as I closed the gate and turned toward where I was going on the sidewalk, I heard my name being called from the third floor of the house. I was confident it was the third floor of the house. As I looked up, I saw that the window, which always had been closed, was slightly opened as well. As the other thing that I found unusual as I walked out from the door that day was how quiet the neighborhood was for that time of day. It was eerily quiet and strange. As I walked out and heard my name called again, I hesitated and looked slightly around, thinking nobody knows my name here. I don't remember any of the neighbors. I then proceeded down the sidewalk and heard my name called again, but much more insistently. And the voice said, "Aren't you going to say goodbye to me?" At that time, I felt the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, which I've never felt before, and was kind of amazed at the feeling. I hurried onto my train. I thought all the way into Manhattan about what happened, and I came to the conclusion that what I heard and experienced was not of this world. Later that evening, when I returned home, all my roommates were in the kitchen, so I took the opportunity to first ask them if anyone had been home at the time that I had left that afternoon. After everyone assured me that nobody had been home at that time, I then told them what I'd experienced and asked any of the older roommates that had been there longer if they had ever experienced anything like that. The one roommate who lived on the third floor, and she was the only one who lived on the third floor, abruptly got up and left without saying anything. Later, another roommate of mine told me that she had tried to speak with her about what I had said and found her very upset but unwilling to talk about it at all. She told me not to talk about it again in front of that roommate, as it apparently was a very upsetting subject for her. I left a few months later for California. Nothing like that has ever happened in the house to me, but it was apparent that something had happened, or there was a history there that the oldest roommate that had lived there the longest did not want to discuss. Your thoughts on the matter?
Dun, dun, dun. I mean, one part of me says she was trying to play a prank, but I don't believe that was the case. That is, that's where it ends?
That's where it ends.
Wow. I want to see what comes up. after the break.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where if the roommate's not going to talk about it, what do you mean? Obviously, there's some knowledge there. They know something about that property, but without getting them to open up about it, you're kind of screwed.
It's kind of like the one we talked about a while back, the landscaper who took the dresser of the girl, the haunted dresser, and
yeah.
Their child couldn't sleep. Almost withholding information. I want to know why, though. Why this roommate is so hesitant to... quite honestly, I would suspect that the roommate who didn't want to talk has a deeper connection or more experiences with the whoever, whatever she heard, and that she doesn't want to possibly make this mad. I don't know. That's
it's hard to know because you have to wonder, was it a traumatic experience that they don't want to relive, they don't want to experience again, or did they have something to do with conjuring something up that they know is up there and they don't want to be found at fault for creating it or bringing it into the mix of roommates?
This was in the 90s, had said, this letter?
Yeah.
I would want to look into, try to find out this physical address, take a road trip.
And go find out what's going on there.
And go see what's up.
Yeah. No, that would be very, very creepy. So the other day on the last episode you were on, we were talking about creepy songs and creepy music videos. Did you get a chance to watch the music video I texted you after?
I thought you made that up. I thought that was a customized to further reassure the point of this creepy man. Nope, that's just the music video. There were several eyeballs and ears that had to see that and said, yep, that totally doesn't look bad. Let's make this. Let's produce this.
That's the scary thing. And we're talking about, if you missed the episode, Benny Mardone's Into the Night, where the first lyric in the song is, she's just 16 years old, leave her alone, they say. And if those lyrics don't creep you out enough,
Google the video.
Google the
You'll
video.
You'll be confirmed.
And the song was made in like 1980, and I was surprised there was even a music video because MTV was like, I don't think it existed quite yet. But it is probably one of the creepiest music videos. And what makes it so creepy is this is not like a 1960s or a 1950s kind of doo-wop song, you know, where you heard those sort of lyrics where they talk about sweet 16, but like the singer is like 17. It's like, okay.
And it's Chubby Checker and they're doing twists.
Yeah.
They're wearing poof shirts and it's great. They're at a sock hop.
Yeah.
This is not.
This is a 35-year-old man stalking a 16-year-old girl. As,
look at my van. It doesn't have any windows.
As the
Let's
father.
Go.
Pushes him out of the house, and then he basically breaks through her window, but he comes along with a full Berber carpet that he just rolls out into her bedroom, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, he comes in the house, and she's just kind of like passive and not like, she's kind of
okay.
Like, I'm not really sure why you're here, but you're that 35-year-old man. And I don't know, I probably have some daddy issues. And he shows up, rolls out the Berber carpet, and then they lay down on the carpet. And then it's kind of like a magic carpet ride, I guess. They don't like do it in the video, thank God. There's not like a statutory rape scene. But he just sits there and sings the song as they lay on this carpet. And suddenly there's like this illusion of them flying around the Empire State Building, I believe. And the Statue of Liberty makes an appearance as well.
After I had the opportunity to digest it and it sunk in, I thought to myself, well, you know, everything goes in cycle society. This must have been the shock and awe of what we now experience here in 2018, social media and everything has to be that much more shocking, that much more. Like, what? That was it. He was just ahead of the curve.
I don't know how. I mean, because we're talking 1980, which in all... We're talking, you know, 40 years ago, roughly.
Wow.
And somehow a music video and a song lyric that basically glorifies statutory rape was like a top 10 single. It's like, how the hell did this happen? How was that ever like a thing? I just don't get it. It's just...
How many songs, though, that are so catchy that you find yourself just humming along that you don't ever take the time to actually look up the lyrics?
No.
Well, yeah, I mean...
You're just humming along.
I threw it out there on Facebook and I said, what in your opinion is the creepiest song or music video? It doesn't have to be ghost or paranormal related. We got a lot of interesting responses. And I did check out most of them, or I had already known about most of them. But I don't think any of them still stack up as close to the Benny Mardone's Into the Night as far as the creepiness of the video. Mary Jane's Last Dance. Remember that Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was he was dancing with a corpse essentially, so little necrophilia in your music repertoire.
Add some embalming fluid.
Yeah, Black Sabbath, Type O Negative. I never listened to. I was never a hard rock person. Were you?
No.
What were some of the Nine Inch Nails? A lot of suggestions there. Tiptoe through the Tulips by Tiny
Tulips.
Tim. There
Tiny
you go.
Tiny Tim.
You know, that Tiny Tim was just creepy in general. Those were some of the comments. Was there any other music videos or songs you... Police, I'll Be Watching You. That was another good suggestion because that was a rather creepy stalker-ish song. Any other music videos you can think of or songs of... the bygone era that stack up anywhere remotely close to Benny Mardone.
Trying to think of was it Money Money? I'm trying to picture a Billy Idol music video.
Sure.
Where I want to say that it's this girl in a house and he's looking at her through TV screens.
That's
like
creepy.
It's as though she's watching the music video and it's him on the TV, but she goes throughout the house and he's late. So that's, but she looked as though she could vote. So she was, she was at least 18.
It makes it a little better. I remember as a child being freaked out by Sweet Dreams Are Made of These by the Eurythmics. That on MTV, Annie Lennox and whoever her partner was in the Eurythmics. I don't know what it was, but it just scared me. Like that video... creeped me out. I would like cry. I mean, granted, I was like two, but I remember being very freaked out by that video. And Phil Collins when he was on screen too. I think like I Can Hear It Coming in the Night, and it was just his face on the screen, and that also kind of freaked me out.
Sinead O'Connor was a bit freaky as well.
Was it
talented
the
musician? Yeah. Beautiful voice. Just a little scary.
Was it the just because it was that video, her big one, Nothing Compares to You, was very close up of her on screen.
That is exactly what I'm referencing. Yes.
And then she cries a tear. And no. When you're little, that can be kind of creepy and kind of scary. So
what was also creepy is I don't know if you ever watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles growing up.
Not much.
But there was the Turtles. Then you also had the brain. It was it was brain who was controlling the person's body in the stomach of this person.
Sure.
When you're a small child, that too is
quite the concept.
It's life changing, and you talk about it years later on a podcast.
There you go, and that's why you had that experience just for this moment that we're living right now. Let's go to another caller at 855-853-4802. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. It's me again. I don't know. Like, this might be my second time calling the show. I just started listening to it recently, and I thought I'd want to share an experience that I had. I've actually had several experiences, but, you know, just one in particular that really... has stuck with me for a long time. Not even a long time, but just like the past few, I can't even say a long time because it was a while ago, but probably a few months ago, I had an experience that really, really startled me. So it all started like one night. I was sleeping upstairs in my house, and my room is the only room upstairs. Otherwise, my older sister and my parents sleep downstairs. And I'd woken up in the middle of the night And no, I usually check my phone type thing when I wake up. And when I checked my phone, I was like wide awake and I checked it. And I didn't know why I woke up. When I checked my phone, the time was 3:03 in the morning. So 3:03 a.m. And I know, like, I've watched horror movies, you know, I've listened to urban legends, I read them, I listen to podcasts type thing. I'm kind of into paranormal stuff. And I've always heard that 3 a.m. is supposed to be, like, the devil's hour. You know, that's supposed to be time when, like, demonic activity is at its high point because, like, 3, and, like, when you hear 3 knocks, it's supposed to signify a demon because it's, like, 3 is mocking the Holy Trinity. So that's what I've always heard, is that 3 a.m. is, like, a bad hour. So, of course, you know, in my mind, when I woke up, I was like, oh, 3 a.m., you know, then it's going to be a demon. But I just kind of laid there checking my phone, and I couldn't really go back to sleep. And my dog, she's an Australian cattle dog, she was sleeping upstairs. Like, she sleeps upstairs with me in her kennel, but she was on my bed, and she was asleep. She was, like, dead asleep. And I remember I was just laying there, kind of looking at my ceiling, just kind of waiting for myself to, like, fall out back asleep. And all of a sudden, my dog, who is asleep at the foot of my bed, she jumps up and, like, full 4 legs, like, fully standing on my bed. She jumps up and she looks, she's facing my door. She was looking at my door. She's facing the door, which is closed. And she starts to growl and kind of do, like, little barks. Not, like, full barks, but little, like, tiny ones. And she's growling at my door. And she's, like, I sat up, you know, I tried to, like, pet her type thing, like, see what was wrong, and she, like, would not move. She, like, I couldn't even get her to sit down. Like, she was a statue and, like, would not move, and she was so fixated on my door. The only time she's ever kind of displayed this behavior is when I took her on a walk one morning, and we had seen a coyote cross the street. There's coyotes in my neighborhood, and it's the first time I'd actually seen one in my neighborhood, and I was on a walk with her, and she, like, that's the only time she ever acted the same way, is towards the coyote. So, needless to say, I was pretty freaked out because I could not get her to calm down. Probably after a good 5 to 10 minutes, maybe, of her just staring at the door, she sat down, but she still would just not look away from the door. Like, she was so fixated on it. And I was pretty freaked out because I was like, oh, that's, I don't like that. You know, my door was closed. I didn't know it was on the other side of my door. I didn't know what she was hearing or what she was seeing. You know, I've always heard that dogs are more sensitive and susceptible to the paranormal, but, you know, I've never heard that for sure. So I was pretty freaked out, needless to say. But that was one experience I had, and it really kind of just chilled me. Like, and actually another time that kind of scared me even more, it was actually maybe a week or 2 weeks after that occurrence happened. I was home alone, and me and my sister were just talking, like, before I was home alone. She was going to work, before she went to work. We were just talking about kind of paranormal stuff in general and some experiences that she had felt. And I had brought this one up to her about the whole little thing with my dog in the middle of the night, and I brought that up to her, and, you know, we talked about it, and I kind of joked around with her. I was like, you know, wouldn't it be funny, like, watch, you're going to go to work, and something's going to happen to me while I'm home alone, you know, like, I'm going to see a demon, I'm going to get dragged down the hallway, like, paranormal activity type deal. So we were just talking about that, joking, and, you know, she's like, if anything happens, call me type thing, and I was like, oh, I will. And, you know, she ended up going to work, and that was kind of the last I thought about it. I, you know, went about doing homework, just kind of cleaned up the house type thing. When I was cleaning my room, and probably about 2:33 o'clock, I'd been home alone for like a few hours by that point. By that time, I went downstairs. I was kind of done cleaning, and I went and, like, made myself food. I forget what I made, but, you know, I just made myself food, and I went and sat down in our living room, and I was just eating, looking at my phone. Now, early up until this point, I had been cleaning up the house and my room. I had cleaned up my sister's bathroom, and after I was done, I remember closing her bathroom door. Now, sometimes with this bathroom door, it's downstairs. It's like our guest bathroom, but it's her bathroom because her room's directly across. If you don't close the door fully, like fully pull it all the way closed, sometimes it'll just blow open from like the wind, from like our open doors and windows. So like that happens a lot. But I was pretty like probably 93% sure that I closed this bathroom door after I was done cleaning. Now, I was sitting down, eating, and out of nowhere, I'm just looking on my phone, I hear this huge bang in the hallway. Like, it completely startled me. Like, I dropped my spoon. Like, I was so shocked because it was just such a loud bang. It sounded almost kind of like a gunshot. Like, I know it's probably not similar at all, but that's just like how loud and startling it was. I was kind of scared for a few seconds, kind of frightened because I didn't know what it was or where it had come from. So I just kind of sat there for a minute. Eventually, you know, I got up and I walked over to the hallway and I looked, and I felt uncomfortable, the sense of just unease. As soon as I saw what had happened, when I looked, the bathroom door was wide open. Now, I went over this, like at that point, I was just, you know, maybe I left it open, maybe it was the wind, but I walked over to the bathroom and I turned on the light and, you know, I closed the door. I just like looked in the bathroom type thing. I closed the door, and then what I tried doing, so I was like, maybe it wasn't the bathroom, maybe it was like something that was outside. So what I did is like I closed the door again, like I tried pulling it hard shut, it didn't make the same sound. But then, you know, I opened the door and I threw it, like I pushed the door open as hard as I could, and so it smacked the wall, by like the bathroom wall, and it made the same sound that I had heard. So that's when it kind of got freaky, because I was like, I just made the sound of the bathroom door slamming open, and the sound was just heard. Like, I was really shook because it was the same sound, and I was so sure that I closed the bathroom door. But at that point, you know, I kept thinking it up in my head, like, I closed the door, I closed the door, I closed the door. But then at that point, I couldn't remember if I'd actually closed the door or if I only thought I closed the door, because I kept telling myself I did. So, just kind of freaky stuff like that happens, you know, and I was already kind of freaked out about that previous experience that I had, and about my sister telling me about some things, and, you know, we kind of actually, like, I don't know if my parents feel the same way, but I feel like I've definitely experienced a lot of activity in our house, you know, like, a lot of time I put stuff down, like, my phone especially, this happens a lot, and, like, the TV remote, I'll set it down somewhere, I'll go do something, when I come back, it's not there where, like, I left it. It'll be in a completely different spot. Like, one time, I was so sure I left it in the bathroom upstairs after washing my face, and I came downstairs, and I made myself a sandwich, and when I went back upstairs, it wasn't up there. So I searched all over the house, and then when I came downstairs to look, my phone was on the couch in the living room. So, of course, you know, I just kind of brush it off type deal, because I don't actually know if it's real or if maybe it's just me looking too much into it. So maybe it's just my overactive imagination. That could be entirely true, because I do watch a lot of horror movies and I read a lot of scary stories type things. So it could just be me overthinking things. But I really love your guys' show, and I love listening, and it honestly just brings joy, because I just love listening to this type of thing, and I think it's really awesome what you guys are doing. So I say just keep up the good work. I hope to hear my stories on there sometime. I think that'd be really cool. I definitely will probably call in again, because I do, like I said, I feel like I've definitely had a lot of experiences, and I feel like we do have a lot of activity in our house. So yeah, that's it. I'm Taya. I don't know if I said my name before, but I'm Taya from San Diego, California.
So what do you think of that, when you have stuff that's going on and you're kind of like, well, is it just my imagination, or is there something actually happening here?
That was a long story.
Yeah,
I thought I'd talk.
Lot going on.
Lot going on there. I tried to I should have taken notes. I think it depends. Again, it goes back to earlier in our chat. If you are in a mindset where you are looking for reassurance, guidance on what you already believe. I mean, there's situations where, for example, office at work, the building's old, the door hinges on an angle, so I have to use a little what do they call those rubber door stops? There you go. If I don't have one, it will slowly shut.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you have doors where if the window is open on both sides of your apartment, then creates a wind tunnel, the door slams. What I found interesting is when she said she went back, she tried all she could, as hard as she could, to shut it so that the lock would hook and it wouldn't. It almost sounds as though that right there, whatever is there is pushing back, possibly wanting to play, maybe not necessarily being a demon, as she talked about 3 o'clock and three knocks. And whoa, goodness.
Yeah.
Did she do a horror movie? That's my take on it.
It's hard to know sometimes when you have, you know, I would say more times than not when you're sitting there going, well, this is happening quite frequently. I mean, yeah, you could write a lot of little things off to just being, you know, paranoia. But I think more times than not when it's a consistent thing that's happening that, you know, wait a second, I'm not this forgetful. I'm not this clumsy with my objects or this or that, that it probably points to something actually going on in the world of the paranormal. So I would say, you know, be a little more aware, I guess, of what you're doing. And I think the answer will come easier that way. Just by being a bit more aware of what you're doing and where you're putting things, especially that when something is in a completely different area, you'll know, okay, there's something else going on here. All right. I think that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for joining us. If you like the program, sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes, more than 200 of them now, at ghostpodcast.com and help keep our show on the air. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.